Hello and welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is Rav, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you are in the world. I hope you are keeping well and I hope you've been enjoying the last few days, basking in the fact that Arsenal are through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League and will face that little old team based in Spain known as Real Madrid. It's fantastic. Funnily enough, my YouTube recommendations the last few days, it's funny how this algorithm works, right? Ever since Arsenal, officially sealed their qualifications to the quarterfinals when, look, we all knew the result was inevitable after the first leg, right? But until it's actually done and sealed. And of course, the second leg between Atletico and Real Madrid was still up for grabs. So once it's become official, it's amazing that all of my YouTube recommendations, they're usually Arsenal related anyway, right? Press conferences, training clips from the club, all the other sort of promotional videos that the official channel produces. But I'm getting so much about Arsenal Real Madrid, that special night at the Bernabeu way, way back in 2006. And it knows I'm a sucker, right? It knows I'm an absolute sucker. It puts this in front of me. It says, Rav, would you like to watch this for the 10,000th time? And my answer is, yep. Yes, I certainly do. I actually literally watched it again this morning. You've probably seen and heard a lot of the main Arsenal podcasters reflect on their memories of the event. I've listened to the Arscast, Arsblog, as it mentioned, and the Arsenal Vision. It's fantastic, just the nostalgic element, just hearing the energy in their voices. It really got me going as well. Look for me, obviously, as many of you know, if you're a return listener, I'm all the way over here in Australia, right? So how much I'd love to be at these fixtures, how much I'd love to be amongst the away fans all throughout England and throughout Europe in some of these great nights. But for me, I was watching all the way back over here. That time of the year would have been about a 5 a.m. kickoff from what I remember. I was quite early into my banking career back then. I was like 25, 26 years old, so it's not a problem. If I wanted to, I could stay up all the way through the night to watch an overnight match and then just, you know, survive on 2-3 hours sleep and get into work the next morning. This one was a bit different. I could get up at around the sort of 4 o'clock mark, get myself sorted, get my day organized, watch the match and then head straight to work. And basically, I didn't even feel it, didn't even feel the effects of tiredness or any of that sort of stuff. But look, I remember it so vividly. Arsenal really deserved that match, by the way. If anything, Arsenal should have scored more. We had 2-3 gilt-edged chances before Henry scored. Henry himself climbed over. There was a fantastic cross. He was gliding in on the back post, headed the ball just wide. Like, Casillas was nowhere. That was a sure thing if Henry could have landed that on target. There was a gaping wide gap there in the corner. We could have been 1-0 well before the actual goal itself. And what can I really say about the goal itself that hasn't been said many, many times? It was a work of art. It was just beautiful, bouncing off the great Ronaldo. And then he just glided through, cut them apart, and then just ghosted into the box, left foot, goal. And the commentary, it lives with me. It never quite leaves you, right? It never quite leaves you. Similar, I guess, to, you know, Arshavin's winner against Barcelona in 2011-2012 season at the Emirates. And, you know, some of these moments, they really, really stay with you, right? It's one of those things. Now, we all know ultimately how it ended. Arsenal didn't win the Champions League in 2006. Unfortunately, that result still leaves me a bit scarred as well. And of course, we didn't even win the second leg against Barcelona on the match in that tie I just referenced. But, you know, the moments still stay with you, right? That they still do. Sometimes you just feel temporarily transported back in time. Remember where you watched, what I was doing at the time. Strange enough, I can remember what I was wearing. You know, just this, the odd way the mind and the brain works when it cements these long-term memories into our brain. It's just, yeah, it's something very special. And, you know, who knows what awaits for us in Real Madrid again, returning to the Emirates in a couple of weeks' time. Who knows what awaits? But look, for now, that's still a few weeks away. Sorry for the long tangent I just went on in this intro. So there's still the matter, of course, of the Premier League fixture, which is next up against Chelsea this weekend, and it's a bit indicative, I guess, that so much of my attention has just been on the Champions League fixture, even though that's a few weeks away. It's going to be after the international break. Our league campaign, obviously, it is what it is now. I think many of us have come to terms with it in our own ways, or processed it in our own ways. I too have. There's a sense of sadness, I guess, to it in what could have been had we made some different choices and different decisions at key junctures over the last 6 to 9 months. What can we really do? I don't think anyone wants to go over it all again. It doesn't really serve us well right now. But what's super important is that we don't tumble, that we don't spiral out of control in the league. There are a few teams just starting to breathe down Arsenal's neck a little bit. We have a decent enough buffer over Chelsea, right? We drew against Forest a couple of weeks ago, which was, in isolation, wasn't such a bad thing with the season they're having. However, in terms of how fine the margins were, how far ahead Liverpool steam away, the title challenge just unfortunately fizzled out. And we now find ourselves very much focused on trying to salvage as best as we can second place and make sure we secure that, which I still remain confident we will, right? Like I just don't share some of the doom and gloom nature of some Arsenal fans who are worried that we're going to miss out on a Champions League place this season. There's going to be 5 places in all likelihood for England. So it'll take a collapse of drastic proportions for Arsenal to botch it from here. And I just don't believe it's going to happen. I think the players are too proud. I think Arteta is too proud as well to allow this to happen. And look, what an opportunity now to send another statement and just make sure that we capitalize on some momentum that we've just kickstarted again with the European campaign. Let's enter this international break with a win against old rivals Chelsea. Right, we thumped them in the corresponding fixture last season, 5-0. One of my favourite games for a long, long time, by the way, because we certainly owed them. We've been on the receiving end. How many of these matches, how many times have we been flicked aside by the big boys? Everyone's had their day in the sun against Arsenal. Liverpool have. City, of course, have thumped us a number of times. Chelsea slapped us around so many times, right? To finally give one back to Chelsea last season, it was brilliant. And I remember the screenshots afterwards of the Chelsea, what do they call them? They refer to the person who handles the social media, their Twitter handle, like the admin, I guess they refer to them as. There was so much saltiness with those back-to-back Kai Havertz goals when we was charging ahead. It was 2-0, 3-0, 4-0. We were just pounding them in that second half, and they wouldn't even name him. It's actually quite funny. You have to laugh, right? Just how bitter that was, where every other goal scorer is always mentioned, right? They're referenced in name, who the goal scorer was, and the minute of the match. But from the screenshots I recall seeing at the time, it was literally something like goal, Arsenal, 60 minutes, you know, something to that extent. They wouldn't even name Kai Havertz, right? It was, I have to laugh, right? Because it's just the kind of stuff that if you can't take a little joy or amusement from that sort of stuff, then, you know, like what's it all for, right? So hopefully, right, well, obviously it won't be Havertz again, but, you know, hopefully we get them in another little similar kind of salty mood with another pounding awaiting for them this weekend. So I think 3 points is crucial. Chelsea, really, their league campaign, if you want to talk about Arsenal's stuttering and challenges in the league, then you have to say the same for Chelsea, right? The amount of spend, it's been said 1,000 times before, right? So you don't need to hear it from me. The level of spending, the unprecedented, ridiculous spending they've made the last 2-3 years, and look where they are. Look where they are on the league table, how they haven't been able to translate that into consistent results. It's a testament to Arsenal that after what we've endured this season, with all the injuries and the red cards and just all those sorts of elements of luck just escaping us at key moments, it's a testament to the club and the character of the manager and the players themselves that we're still second. And I think it's important that we secure that, and I'm quietly confident we will. So there isn't really much else in the build-up. There's been a quietish few days on the Arsenal front after securing Champions League qualification to the quarterfinals. Arteta, I thought he was in quite a good mood in his press conference. I'm not sure if you've seen any of the quotes or any of the clips or the footage that does the rounds. He seemed in quite a good mood. Lewis Skelly with a call up to the England senior squad, which is fantastic for him, much deserved. And from what I understand, he probably will feature in the media promotional aspect of it. He probably will be at their press conference. So I'm just hoping, you know, just for a quieter few weeks for him after what's been, you know, just an unusually eventful time with his emergence, not just through the Arsenal ranks, but now to all of a sudden skip the under 21 call up and go straight into the senior team selection. It's fantastic. It's absolutely brilliant. What an achievement for him and his family. Wanneri, I believe, has been called up to the under 21s squad as well, which is absolutely brilliant for him. 17-year-old. I mean, just what these two teenagers have produced for Arsenal is nothing short of phenomenal this season. It's outstanding. There must be so much pride throughout all levels of the club, all the youth team levels, with how long they've spent at Arsenal, all the coaches, advisors, the support members, all throughout the youth levels and above of Arsenal. They must be filled with joy and pride for what these guys represent and how well they've performed. And of course, their families as well. Like how amazing for them to just relish and enjoy. Very, very special. What they're doing is very, very special. It's not normal. It's kind of been normalized, I guess, when we are so now accustomed to seeing their names on the team sheet week after week, match after match. And none of us really blink an eye, right? There used to be a time where we'd see the team announced and we'd all have that team in our mind, right, that we'd want to see, and we'd look at the bench and we'd say, how come he's not starting? Or you look at someone who is named on the team sheet, say, what again after, you know, after what they did last week, so and so. But it's just that there's none of that now. You see Lewis Skelly named a left back, it's fine, no problem, fantastic. See Ethan named at right wing. Look, of course, the injuries have necessitated his consistent selection. However, aside from that, he's deserved it. He's absolutely warranted. These guys are being named and playing their minutes on merit. It hasn't just been handed out. They've absolutely earned it. And I'm so proud of them from such a distance. It's absolutely brilliant. And who knows where our season would be without them and without the likes of David Raya at times. So amidst all the doom and gloom at Arsenal, there's still so much to be proud of and so much positivity and energy that we can hopefully channel and hopefully it snowballs, right, in the next few weeks with Real Madrid in the quarterfinals. Again, I'll bring it back down to them. I don't want to make it all about that, of course, because there's still important business to attend to. But the Emirates Stadium is going to be rocking that night. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. I'm sure many of you will make sure that you will secure your ticket, and I'm sure the local pubs in and around the stadium will be absolutely flowing as well. It's going to be a great, great spectacle. 5 a.m. kickoff here. I'm basically ready. I'd watch it tomorrow morning if I can. It's going to be a truly special night for the club. And again, we've got there on merit. We've deserved this. So team selection for Chelsea. It's interesting now because in recent weeks, I think we all could largely name the 11 ourselves, purely because of the injuries and the lack of alternatives in the forward areas and midfield areas. However, it's just turned the dynamics a little bit for us now with Martinelli back. I get the sense, listening to the way Mikel answered the question about is Mourinho going to be persisted with as the number nine, I get the sense now that experiment, is that the right word, that the Mourinho is the false nine, I get the sense now that that's going to be done away with. I would like to think that what he has in mind is perhaps a bit of a dovetailing, a rotational option between Trossard and Martinelli, where you'll probably see them share some minutes on the left and central and work together in tandem. Very similar to earlier in the season, we saw something similar when Odegaard was injured for 3 months, and we saw Arsenal, look, I know we play a 4-4-3 nominally, right? However, there was clear to me that during stages of play, I would say we played more a 4-4-2, and we had Trossard and Havertz working in very close quarters up front, sort of alternating between who was more advanced and who was playing in further behind, like just playing off as a second striker, playing off the main striker. So I'm wondering if we're going to see something similar to that with Martinelli and Trossard. It's been a long, long time since Martinelli's been tried as a nine. It just doesn't really seem to happen. But these are the times, right? It necessitates the change. For a long time, we all thought, how come Zinchenko hasn't been tried as a midfielder? And time again, it didn't happen. And Arteta chose alternative options. And then all of a sudden, in recent weeks, he's played most of his minutes in midfield. So you just never know. You never know what's been worked on behind the scenes. I imagine a lot of different alternatives would have been explored, even in Dubai. Different training drills and different formations, different setups, just trying to cover all bases for whatever match situations we find ourselves in. So I'm actually really curious to see how Martinelli would go as the nine if this happens, of course. Now, after going on such a long-winded spiel about this, what are the odds that Mourinho's named as the false nine against Chelsea this weekend? But look, it remains to be seen. I just think one by one, getting some players back, getting Martinelli back in there, it not only does it provide the obvious additional options, senior options, experienced, established options that Arteta knows and trusts, but also we can start to manage minutes now as well. I've been touching wood every time I see Trossard go down under a heavy challenge or something, because he's the one who has actually come out of this heavy workload still intact, right? I'm hoping that doesn't mean that he's got one of those injuries that will just catch up with him over time. You know, similar to what we saw Ben White play a very heavy volume of minutes, and then it got to a point where his body caught up with him, right? Trossard has done really well. He's been always available, right? He's always fit and available. I know his form has really tailed off. His goals have dried up. His goal per minutes ratio really would have blown right out to what it was in the past, because his ability to impact as a second half substitute, we just haven't had the luxury to do that. We've had to start him almost every match. As I still think he's at his best, right? As game state allows, you bring him on a 65, 70 minutes, right, against tired defenders, he's a killer in front of goal. He just needs one or two chances and he's the difference. So his goals per minutes have really dried up as well. But it's the circumstances. It's it's one of those things where we haven't had the benefit of a number of alternatives. We've been forced to start him every match. And same with Wanyeri. Martinelli being back now, maybe we can start to manage Ethan's minutes as well. He too has done particularly well, that his body has remained intact and has survived the rigors and the challenges of senior men's football. And you also just need to make sure that you don't push your luck, because if there's one thing that we have had much of in reserve this season, it's luck. So Martinelli being back is excellent for the club. Hopefully Bukayo is not too far back. In fact, there were some interesting quotes that Arteta was asked about where exactly Bukayo is in his recovery. He'd made mention of, obviously, he's still some way away and they're looking to step up his recovery in consultation with the advice and the doctors at the club. He's going to be on grass soon as well, training. So look, you just never know. I'm certain though that behind the scenes, Bukayo Saka will be doing everything he possibly can to feature in sub capacity against Real Madrid, right? I mean, he would be doing absolutely everything to get himself ready to help the team, to contribute, the club that he loves, that he's grown up with. What a night for the club. He wants to participate. He will want to be there within reason, of course. And I'm sure that's going to be monitored very, very closely. One thing I will say is that the way the club was able to keep Martinelli's recovery under wraps, I don't think it was even reported that he's back in training in any capacity, right? The club is very strategic in terms of what images they release in the training photos that are published, and the social media clips that I mentioned before, when they put the training videos out on YouTube. people scour that, right? People look through, oh, who's training, who's not, how are they moving, do they have strapping on, how's their ankle? The club is so intentional with that, not to reveal anything, to keep as much tight-lipped as possible. And Martinelli, all that time, right, he probably was there. They've just made sure to eliminate any evidence, to exclude any reference to him visibly being back in training. And who knows, who really knows where exactly Bukayo is in his true recovery? So it wouldn't surprise me that he is actually, in some capacity involved. Whether that means how that translates to being back on the pitch and playing football again for Arsenal remains to be seen. His injury was so severe, very, very different to Martinelli's, right? It was a hamstring off the bone, requiring surgical correction. It was an awful, awful injury, a nasty injury, right? So I'm sure he's doing his absolute best, and the club will be too, to get him back out there as soon as possible. Okay, and just before I sign this one off, I'll just share a very, very quick and funny random story, right? It's a little bit embarrassing, but I have to say it because, like I said before, if you can't laugh about certain things, then what's it all for, right? So for those of you who are familiar with the podcast, I mentioned in my very, very first recording, my introduction, that Ian Wright is what got me into this magnificent football club. It was the mid-90s. It was 1995. That's why you see in my logo established 1995. Now, it doesn't mean I was born then. I'm a lot older than that, right? But 1995 is when I first came across Ian Wright and started following Arsenal, so 30 years ago. I saw him in a television commercial for Australian Rules Football, which is a huge match, a huge sport here in Australia, the AFL, we call it. So I first saw him feature then. And I thought, who's this guy? This guy looks super, super cool. It said at the bottom of the screen, Ian Wright, England and Arsenal. So how awesome is this guy, right? So he is the one who first got me into Arsenal, and I've followed him very closely since. And of course, once I started watching and following Arsenal since, with whatever scraps of pay TV and whatnot footage I could find back then in the mid 90s, I've loved the club ever since. So Ian Wright's what got me into the club. And on Blue Sky the other day, it's actually really, really embarrassing, right? So there's a gentleman, he was so kind and so kind-hearted and gracious about this, right, in the aftermath. He's another Arsenal fan, and I actually thought I was following the Ian Wright official. I didn't know that that Ian Wright doesn't have an official Blue Sky account. I think he's much more active on like Instagram and Twitter and whatnot. So I'm laughing again, right? In the aftermath of the Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid fiasco, the penalty, which I've shared my thoughts on that in the last podcast, what a farce that was. The gentleman on Blue Sky, who I thought was the Ian Wright, but just so happens to be another gentleman named Ian Wright, he posted that he couldn't see any nudge on the ball. And I commented something on the lines of, yeah, I couldn't see it either, et cetera, et cetera. There must be additional footage that the VAR saw that we didn't. And within a few minutes, I checked my Blue Sky a bit after that, and there was a notification saying, Ian Wright replied to you. I was like, oh my God, I actually didn't even read what the content said. Just the very fact that it comes up in your notifications, Ian Wright replied to you. I was so giddy. I was so happy and enthusiastic, right? So I've come out from the bedroom where I was looking at it, where my phone was on the bedside table at the time. I've come out, my wife and sons are there having breakfast. And of course, they know what Arsenal and Ian Wright means to me, right? So they knew straight away. And I was like grinning ear to ear, like, giggling like a schoolgirl, saying, Ian Wright just wrote back to me. And of course, they were so happy for me, right? As they should. And I was like, that's amazing. That's great, et cetera, et cetera. And so fast forward to all this. I'll cut this long story short. It's not the actual Ian Wright. So it was such a kind gentleman. We had a little exchange on Blue Sky, which was fantastic. He was having a laugh just like I was, right? And to this point, this was a few days ago, to this point, I haven't actually gone back and told my wife and my sons that it wasn't the actual Ian Wright that I thought. Now, my wife and my older son are some of my most loyal podcast listeners and subscribers, so I know they do tune in and listen, so I guess at some point they're going to hear this and they'll discover it that way, but I've been too embarrassed to openly admit to them otherwise. But look, there you go. This is just one of those random stories that I just had to share because it is funny. And self-deprecating humor is, I guess, a part of my personality. I have to laugh at this, especially with how much I was giggling and how joyous I was at the time thinking it was the actual Ian Wright. But look, who knows? Maybe one day I will have that official exchange online with the one official Ian Wright. I'm stumbling over my words a little bit. So look, I'm going to leave this one there, wrap this one up for now. I'll be back on post Chelsea, hopefully talking about another resounding Arsenal victory and three crucial points in the Premier League. Thank you as always for listening and for tuning in. And if I could please ask if you'd be kind enough to leave me a review on your podcast platform, Apple Podcasts or Spotify, subscribe on YouTube, please, and like, I would welcome anything to that ilk and any feedback or suggestions. I read every single comment I get and I'm most grateful for it. So thank you so much. Wherever you are in the world, stay safe, enjoy your Saturday and your weekend, and come on, Arsenal.